Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, the show for people who want to maximize their marketing potential. My name is Katya, and I am your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy and everything in between, each episode will feature industry experts that share their insights and provide actionable tips to help you achieve your marketing goals. So put your AirPods in, turn up the volume, and get ready for our guest today, Claire Leon. Claire, thank you so much for joining me on the Grin Gets Real podcast. I am I'm really excited to just kind of dive in and talk about just omnichannel e-commerce strategies. I know that you've got a lot to say, so I'll let you have the floor. Let's dive into it, but let's provide our fans a little bit of context as to who you are and what that expertise is for omnichannel and then e-commerce and all that good stuff.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be able to talk about this subject in as much depth as, and to be able to just share my experiences since starting Acorn Intelligence. So thank you very much.
Of course.
A little bit about myself, I suppose. I was at Amazon for just under 7 years. I was in part of the Amazon ads group in the UK, though I worked really closely with New York and Seattle, supporting the brands and partners, navigating the intersection of advertising and e-commerce. And myself and the product lead for Amazon DSP, who was Amazon Advertising Platform at the time, we just put our heads together and were like, we want to be able to take our expertise outside of the orange gates and share the knowledge and share the opportunity that we felt brands had in really being able to build on an e-commerce strategy. But we wanted to use technology, so we have devised our own. So we founded Acorn Eye, and we have a proprietary technology solution which essentially takes all the data and we use those insights and that proposition to inform all the activation work that we do for our brands and our clients, whether that is on Amazon or on other marketplaces and e-commerce channels. Yeah, so we take a very data-driven approach. It's all about the data for us. We basically help people increase sales and efficiencies. We talk about marketplaces, but let's be honest, the largest marketplace, certainly in the Western world, is Amazon.
Yes. So
when I do talk about marketplaces, predominantly, this is an Amazon question and an Amazon problem. And that's certainly something we try to support on.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people have a lot of questions in regards to Amazon in general, because like you said, it completely dominates.
Yeah.
So I'd love to just kind of get the basics out of the way and have an understanding of how you define omnichannel.
Yeah, sure. So in my opinion, all of this is my opinion, but I think it comes from an informed perspective. It means looking at all routes to market and seeing on how a brand can reach those people in market for your product and how do you make those people fall in love with your brand. And my main point on omnichannel and what omnichannel is and has to be for the brand is you've got to make it easy for your customer to find and fall in love with your product. I think that's really key. I think this has evolved so much in the last 5 years, right?
Yeah.
But never so much more than in the last 12 months because of the global situation that we've all found ourselves in. But it's actually almost escalated the challenge because suddenly the consumer has far more control of selecting how they purchase and how they receive the goods. And this is also cross-marketplace as well. This isn't specific to a particular territory, in my opinion. And this has to be, therefore, the core of every sales strategy is what's my omnichannel approach? Making it easy for my customer to buy my product. Am I making them aware of all the different ways they can buy my product? And an omnichannel strategy has to harness, I believe, that customer-first approach. Why do I think it's important for e-commerce? Well, digital's obviously become a critical commerce channel in the last year, certainly. Bricks and mortar stores closed, consumers bound to their homes. So brands that now need to consider in a different way where they build not just a relationship with the customer for the long term, but where and how they acquire that customer at the most efficient price, if you like. So yeah, that's my definition of omnichannel in a roundabout way.
Let me see if I can summarize that up and put it into my own
words. You I've got lots to say on it.
No, I love it because I do think that omnichannel means that you've got to be everywhere. And everywhere, I guess, is more of like what I want to make sure that we hone in on is that social, is that website, is that TV? Like what are the different channels that make up omni?
Yeah, and that's it. But that's changing all the time, right? So what's omnichannel going to look like next year is going to be different from what it looks like today. But yeah, absolutely, it's TV, it's DTC, it's marketplace. And you have to have and be considering all of those in this moment in time.
So what is the ideal omnichannel strategy look like for a D2C brand?
There isn't one. There isn't a right or wrong. I think it depends on so many different moving parts. What stage in a brand's life cycle are you at? And I think you start there and work backwards, because is the problem to grow sales and scale? Are you a challenger brand, relatively new to market? If it is, then you're going to need to build that via marketplaces such as Amazon, harvest the demand amongst the shoppers. Is it that you are a brand that is focused entirely on a subscription model and you want to build your customer loyalty program? That is a different omnichannel strategy that you will take to the first cohort. And are you trying to build a community? Is it about your product, or is your product actually just a vehicle more towards a way of life, way of living, and that's what you want to promote? That, once again, has a very different omnichannel approach, not going to necessarily be just all about any sale that you can get, whether that's via TV, via online, so I think you have to take in all of those different factors when you're building out your omnichannel approach in market.
That absolutely makes sense. And what I think that is kind of just consistent when you're even talking about just marketing and building out any sort of strategy is it always goes back to the objective. What are you trying to get out of this?
Exactly. And for me, the perfect strategy really focuses on taking each section of the purchase funnel almost in silo and going, what am I doing here? And then thinking agnostically as well. Being agnostic is the most important thing a brand can do when considering omnichannel. And I think a lot of brands can't and struggle to be agnostic.
What do you mean by that?
I think brands are in danger of becoming very fixated on, it's got to be all about my D2C sales, and that's going to be the key, and that's my end game. And I think that they need to reconsider that and understand the value that marketplaces can bring to a DTC approach, or not just marketplace, as you said, whether it's TV, whether it's social, all of these different areas. And I think brands need to be more agnostic in their approach.
You said something, not to veer us off track, but I've been diving a lot into this. I think it's interesting that you said D2C in a marketplace. Not every D2C brand wants to be on a marketplace, but what are some benefits that you see for a D2C brand to be in a marketplace?
Yeah, so this is a really, really interesting question that we do a lot of work trying to solve. The way our technology works, we integrate across all channels. So we'll look at, say, a Shopify activity and Amazon activity. And a frequent problem that brands seem to have at the moment is working out if marketplaces like Amazon are capitalizing their D2C sales. And they need to understand and are struggling to understand, how do I measure the impact of investment that I'm placing on my own website versus what I choose to place on Amazon, for example? And I think I'm all up for a brand saying an absolute no to Amazon, as long as that is an informed and educated decision and not one that often comes from a place of, They didn't give me anything back. They don't give me my data. They just take my sale and, you know, don't give me anything back. And that's the wrong approach. The complexity of Amazon leads to this misconception. It's this closed environment when it comes to accessing your data or measuring and understanding your customer profiles. But actually, they do and can give you some very interesting insights for you as a DTC brand. So things like, what do you shoppers purchase against in terms of search terms, geolocation of your customers, new to brand or repeat purchase metrics, are all examples of data that is available.
Do you think that maybe the struggle of understanding that, not struggle, I'll say challenge, I'll flip it to the positive. The challenge of being so data centric is not under, you know, a brand or store not really understanding what to do with the data. Do you ever find that there's a little bit of data overload? Like, that's great. I have all of these data points, but I only understand 5. What do you do or how, and especially at Acorn AI, how do you make it tangible for brands to understand the most important data points to help inform their strategy?
Yeah, so I think it's a really great point that you're saying there. I think that is part of the problem. Like, if you go in, if you log in to an Amazon Render Central account or an Amazon Seller Central account, it's a world in itself. I mean, there is just so much there. Yeah. It is, and not only is there data overload, but it is so time consuming.
Yes.
And the resource that is for brands is really sizable. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. I mean, you would need to kind of, without having a solution that makes that easy, you're going to have to log in to multiple single dashboards, export different reports, stitch them together, pull all of that, then understand what are the optimizations I'm therefore going to make on my business. Do I need to do more influencer marketing? Do I need to do more promos? Do I need to do, you know, all of this stuff? That is so inefficient for brands. So what ends up happening is they go, oh, that is just too difficult. But what they're ignoring by doing that is that if you could get that data in a really easy and succinct way, and you combine that data with your own website data and your advertising pools, you start to understand the shopper engagement so much better.
Well, let's talk about that shopper engagement, because I definitely think, well, I know from a marketing perspective, I'm always looking at the customer journey. Awareness is always the easiest and probably the most fun, right? Because that's a lot of place where you just want to grab people's attention. But as far as the customer, what would you say is the part of that customer journey that you tend to see e-commerce brands just kind of fall short in? Like, do you see that they lean heavier on one end of the journey versus the other? Is there an area where some consistently fall short?
Yeah, my opinion is that people don't really understand the position that marketplaces play as an acquisition channel to your market, to growing your customer journey. And I think brands do need to get smarter in understanding those metrics and how they operate in that space. Quantifying the role of a marketplace, I think, is a big miss for e-commerce brands at the moment. And everything feeds into that then, right? So are you promoting Amazon? Or is that just an absolute no-no? It's siloed off on its own. You're not kind of looking at that alongside your DTC approach. That is a miss in my eyes.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Is there some advice that you would give to an e-commerce brand as far as like what you should have in place to really help you execute a solid omnichannel strategy? And what I mean by that, so that I can provide you some context, is, you know, we had discussed data points and almost having like this data overload, right? Yeah. And then it's trying to figure out where we need to be. Is it more of influence marketing? Is it more of, you know, the marketplace approach? What can a brand have in place to kind of help them build that strategy effectively? Is it having, you know, specific people? Do I need a data scientist? Do I need the right technology? Do I need to invest dollars? What would you say is what a brand needs to have in place in order to be more strategic?
Yeah, I definitely think it comes down to the data. Like, you know, it's about having that person who can take a look at the data and go, okay, look, guys, do you know what? We've discovered our customers find us on AMP. You can't compete with the power of Prime, right? But actually, they really like our product. Our product's really good. They've bought in to what we're all about, and they've migrated over to Shopify. And the lifetime value of that customer is X. Now, the lifetime value of the customer who we discover via our Facebook strategy, and we totally pushed our Shopify channel. And do we truly understand cross-channel migration there? Do we understand the lifetime value of each customer? That influencer marketing piece that you did, was that just one-off sales that we won, or did they actually win us repeat purchase? Let's look under the bonnet, you know? And I think that is available out there, but brands are just so busy kind of going, I've got to grow my Shopify. So, right, let's do 50% deal, money off. We're going to post it all over Instagram, all over Facebook. Yeah, we've done a 50% deal for all new to brand customers. And then wonder why your Amazon sales take a dip the following week. And you're like, because they're migrating. But do you know that? Are you tracking? Maybe that's okay because you want them to migrate. But are you tracking it? Are you understanding that? And most brands I speak to aren't. There are some really smart ones that get it. They get that they need to understand that. And do you know what? They're the ones that are winning. They're the ones that are building really smart strategies. Their marketing budgets are efficient. They're investing in the right places. And you get a much stronger customer profile in the end, which is obviously the end game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it really does kind of go back to being overwhelmed by data, honestly, because it's easy to get stuck in, because we talk to a lot of brands as well, and I've talked to a lot of brands just in general on like the data points that they do need to take a look at. And when it comes down to it, everybody wants to make money. We're in this to make money.
Oh my God, so true. Yeah, let's not pretend.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend like everyone just wants to be seen. That's the easiest data point to understand. So if that data point isn't always in the upward trajectory, then whatever effort I'm making must be a fail. And I think that that's the story that you get from that. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'll throw out some specific examples that I kind of want you to touch on to see if maybe we can hone in on just some data points to take a look at. So let's say I'm an e-commerce brand and my initial objective, because I'm relatively new, I'm 1 to 2 years in the game, I need to up it a little bit, right? So my goal is to get obviously more sales and more brand awareness. And I want to take a look at my omni-channel approach to that. What data points should I be focusing on if I just want to get more eyeballs?
Yeah, totally. So if you just want to buy sales, I mean, the thing about online is you can buy sales all day long, right? It's really easy to buy a sale. What you want to do is buy a good sale from the right customer that's going to go, hey, I really like this. This is something I need in my life, not just as a one-off. That's the data piece you need to be focusing on, because that will give your brand longevity. And to your point about data overload, I couldn't agree with you more. And for the record, I am not, like, I have definitely had to learn to be as interested in data and the data as I am today. I was on a call with a client today, and we were presenting their lifetime value analytics cross-channel, which is just fascinating to be able to look. But it is so detailed and it is very complex. And I did take one step, and I thought about us talking later on. I was thinking, like, do you know what? If someone was just looking in on this 10 years ago, when it was just all about kind of buying some TV space or, you know, just running like some online ads, and I'm going to tell you how many click-throughs, and that was all that you ever really needed to give, and that was good enough. Now, like, it is really complex, and it is complicated. But I think that is just the nature of our industry as well, is that the game has changed. It's become a lot smarter and a lot more all about understanding these data points. And now that we've got access to it, because the technology has given us that opportunity to, we do all need to pivot to get good at that, as much as it might take us out of our comfort zone. Now, as a brand, in back to your question, like, where should brands be investing? You're either going to invest in that as a resource, and you're going to pay to have heads basically analyzing that data, or you're going to get some very smart technology that can make that a lot easier for you. But either way, you're going to have to do one or the other.
Yeah, and you're going to have to really, I like what you said about how easy it is to buy a sale. And what I immediately thought was, yeah, it's really easy to buy the sale. It's not easy to buy loyalty. And essentially, the loyalty is what extends the customer lifetime value. I don't just want them to buy it once. I want them to continue to buy it. And then also talk about what they're buying to their entire network.
Yeah, exactly. And bringing it back to the omnichannel approach, I think that's where the really smart brands that I see, I think part of the way you buy loyalty as well is by being agnostic to your customer. You're basically showing your customer, you're putting them first. You're saying, I don't care where you buy it, just buy it. So I'm going to tell you, you know, all the different options. I'm going to make this easy for you, because I'll make sure that I'm set up in the back end to analyze that. You know what? That social media post or whatever it might be that's like, come and buy this product. You can buy it here. You can buy it here. You can buy it here. That is a far smarter approach in terms of winning customers for the long term as well.
That's true. You know what that made me think about? Well, I don't know how much TV you watch, and now everybody's going to know how much TV I watch. But we also subscribe to, I feel like, pretty much every streaming service alive. But you know when you really want to watch something and you Google that, right? Like, where can I watch Yellowstone? That's a binge-worthy show, as a side note. And when you Google that, it brings up all of the platforms, right? So it's going to bring up the Netflix and the Hulu, and you can buy it on this and it can tell you that. So what you're saying to me translates back to that. That's an example of, like, I don't care where you watch this. Here are all the places to watch it, right? And it's the same with definitely making that purchase. Do you think that there are, and it's probably going to be hard to quantify this at all, but would you say that there's like a general number of data points that people should take a look at to kind of get the story behind what's happening with the purchase?
It's so difficult. I think it really depends on the life cycle of the brand, because the bigger brands, there's so much depth and they can afford to have that level of analytics, right? A smaller brand, a startup, or a, you know, challenger brand, where they're making their like first 1-5 million, you know, it is very, very different. So for those guys, it's much more about, where's the customer? Where, how can I grow my sales? Where do I find that first initial customer? Where's the hook? Where do I place my hook? And that's where I do say, you try competing with the power of Prime. Like, it's pretty tough. To beat. But at that level, it just basically depends, I think, on where you're at, your customer, on your life cycle.
On your life cycle and how big your brand is. That makes sense. Do you think that there's a difference for the industry as far as omnichannel? Do you think the industry dictates the approach to omnichannel strategy?
That's a great question. And I'll tell you why it's a great question, because it's also quite inflammatory, in so much as, I think the industry absolutely is controlling and dictating this, but there are disruptors, and I would position myself as one, which is going, hey, listen, and it's part of the reason why we decided to kind of take what we wanted and build what we've built is to say there's a different way of looking at this, guys. There's, you know, businesses out there that are directing how they want brands to approach this for their own reasons. And I think that, yeah, it's a tough question to answer without...
No, I didn't prep you for that at all.
Yeah. No, but that's great. I mean, it's great, but I hope you get the kind of get the point that I'm
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I've got actually one more final question, and it is definitely, I always like to ask at the end of it a little bit of prediction, especially being in your space of e-commerce and data. Where do you see the changes happening? Like, what are the big predictions that you have for e-commerce in the next year versus the next 5 years?
Yeah. So I think e-commerce in the next year is going to see some really sizable changes, never mind the next 5 years. I think that obviously we are all realizing as brands how important communities are. And the value of communities and communicating to people via them is really, really super important. And is that's not going away, especially if I look at like how we are living now. Like I'm in London. I'm in full on hard lockdown. We're all living together, homeschooling, three kids, everyone's working. I mean, it's challenging. But that will disrupt society as well. We don't even realize it now, but the way that we work and the way that we live has now changed and has changed probably for good. And brands need to see that communities will become even more important, I think, to individuals. And that will be your way to reach buyers. So I see more of that. And I think e-commerce will play very nicely into that, especially around like having like your DTC websites, social media activity, and all of the above. I think live streaming and that area, it's very new, but it's very interesting what's going on there with social media. So I'd be keen to watch that space. So yeah, brands I would say need to build those DTC approaches all the more. However, ignore the anonymous platforms at your peril, because if there's one thing I think the last 12 months has really shown is that they emerge as very, very stable go-to platforms that's easy to shop on and shop with. And that's not going to go away. And I think that that's just going to persist into the next 12 months and grow. And I think, yeah, to compete with that ability to deliver on time at the right cost is playing with a very expensive fire for brands in the long term.
Yeah, I also think that it's really interesting because I think that you're right. This pandemic has definitely changed how we engage one another. And it's great for e-commerce and B2C brands. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It is about building a community because we're not getting that community right now. So we're leaving that community. And anything that can just kind of jump on that and foster a genuine community would be, they're going to get ahead of the game and keep up with the pace and be the first ones to be able to pivot when it's time to pivot in a different direction because they've built those communities and they've tapped in to hear what people need, want. So yeah, I'm right there with you. That's a good prediction. I like that.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be so interesting. I mean, it is like, I mean, aside from just how horrendous it has been on so many different levels, from a kind of sociological point of view, it's been fascinating to watch how human beings adapt in these circumstances and with what we have at our fingertips and looking at our industry in particular, you know, e-commerce, omnichannel, online. It's actually a very fascinating time. You just step back and take away all the stress and the anxiety that it's induced. Like it's also game changing. So I think it's going to be super interesting to watch how we evolve in this space, definitely.
Oh, I definitely agree. Well, Claire, thank you so much for coming on. It was great chatting with you. Love talking e-commerce, love talking omnichannel. This was really fantastic. I know I'm your last call for today, so I definitely appreciate it.
Oh, you're all right. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely.
During my chat with Claire today, we dug deep on what you need to evaluate to develop your omnichannel strategy. The answer? Data. But the data points you evaluate are all different based on a business size, objective, and industry. And while we all want to drive sales and revenue, those are the easiest data points to understand. But what happens when you look at cross-channel migration or lifetime value? It's not about buying a sale, it's about creating brand loyalty. It's worth the investment in understanding the data points to help you achieve that brand loyalty and increase the lifetime value of any sale. If you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.